Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I hope that what I'm doing and the choices that I make are pushing us forward. But, you know, it comes down to the creativity for me and really using my lyrics, my pen and my words to create change. And that's kind of, to me, my biggest responsibility is the things that I talk about and reaching the minds of the people personally.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Grammys Awardist podcast from Entertainment Weekly. My name is Alex Suskin. I'm a music editor here at EW, and I'm joined today by EW's digital writer / Rina Sawayama expert, Marcus Jones. Thank you for joining, Marcus.
Oh my God, thanks for having me. Yes, of course. Rina for Grammys 2023, we want to say. Because they slept on her this year, sadly.
They really did. Let's hope Rina becomes a Grammys artist at some point in her career. Speaking of, we are talking today about the quote-unquote Grammys artist, what that term means, if it means anything, who belongs within that category, and whether, if that category actually exists, matters to the greater public at large. So, let's kick things off with an R&B singer who's made a lot of noise on the Grammy stage over the last few years. Another quote-unquote Grammy artist. Her name is Her. That's H.E.R. She's an extremely talented singer, songwriter, and guitarist. She's been nominated for, I believe, over a dozen Grammys over the years. She's also an Oscar winner. Highly decorated, has made a lot of noise on the awards stage, and is also our guest today. I guess before we get into Her's backstory, Marcus, I was wondering if you could shed some light a little bit on the Grammy artist and what that term kind of means among the music cognizant.
Yeah, no, I mean, what's interesting is that I feel like the concept of who a Grammy's artist is ever changing, but the definition pretty much is an artist that the Recording Academy plays like particular specific attention to. It's those people that, like, just no matter what the project is, it's gonna end up getting a nomination somewhere in the Grammys, like 90 categories or something like that. And what's interesting is, like, I mean, growing up watching the Grammys, it's kind of like, these are the artists that my parents have heard of and I know are important, but like, I haven't bothered listening to, which sounds a little bit bad because, like, the next thing I'm going to say is, like, the great example is when, like, Herbie Hancock won Album of the Year out of nowhere for the Joni Mitchell's covers. Like, that was a 1-2 punch of, like, oh, okay. Like, there were so many other people in this category that I know of, and now I got to do a lot of research for this. And obviously, it's like someone like Alison Krauss is like, I think her specific genre is like Americana, but that's like a loose interpretation of it. Nowadays, it's like you could say the same of an Adele, where like Adele is definitely pop, definitely R&B, but like known for being right down the middle. We can all agree on Adele. And so, especially with people like Her and Her, or Taylor Swift, like, they're breaking all these Grammy records. And so it's sort of, they're the ones kind of redefining what a quote unquote Grammys artist is.
Yeah, you bring up an interesting point. I feel like Grammys artist has sort of denoted two separate things. You have the sort of Herbie Hancocks of the world who are the folks that, I do love Herbie Hancock, but he was extremely popular with our parents' generation. They are the artists who are not going to be drawing younger viewers to the Grammys, so to speak. At the same time, the Grammys artist is also, I think, a term that is bestowed upon newer artists who fit whatever that Grammys mold is. Someone who everyone can kind of agree on. I wouldn't say is too middle of the road or makes middling music or anything like that, because I think her has put out some outstanding records. Another person in that mix is definitely Billie Eilish, who is very much against whatever old school Grammys mold we might have considered in years past. So I do think it means two different things. And I guess the interesting thing is, does it matter that these artists are so attached to the Grammys? Obviously, with an artist like Billie Eilish, you can argue that no, it definitely doesn't matter. She's selling out arenas all over the world, and like, people love her and she's making really great music. But for someone like her, you know, is it beneficial that she's such a Grammys darling, or do you think something like that kind of hurts her?
Yeah, no, I think it definitely helps, especially in like a time of stan culture, to be like, my fave outsold, my fave has more Grammys than anyone else. And so it is like an accolade, but I feel like in that culture, you find it at a point where it's either someone winning like a crazy amount of Grammys, like a Taylor Swift, where it's like, I believe, yeah, only person to win album of the year three times, definitely only woman.
I believe you're right there.
But then you get the total opposite where you look at the Grammys history, recognizing someone like a Mariah Carey, and it's like those people are undeniably popular, talented, famous, superstars, etc. But yeah, I think it kind of swings in either direction. Like, it's something that you can bring up to recommend this artist. Like, you should listen to this person because it's a decorated album. But at the same time, there's plenty of people who are worth listening to who Grammys don't pay attention to at all.
It is interesting because I do think the Grammys have, and this is something we brought up on our previous episode, the Grammys have done a somewhat decent job, I'd say, in at least hinting toward more progressive elements of the music culture we're living in today. And you see that in this year's Best New Artist category, especially. But you also see it in the R&B categories too. You know, you have someone like Jasmine Sullivan, who has been around for a very long time, but she got the recognition she deserved this year in Best R&B Album. You know, you have someone like Snow Allegra, who is also getting a nomination. The voting body is clearly paying attention to those types of artists, which is a great thing, both for, I think, the Grammys at large and also for music at large, for anyone, any artist who is making something that doesn't fit, you know, on the Hot 100. At the same time, let's delve a little bit more into her backstory, because I think it's really fascinating and she's had a really interesting career, and her path to the Grammys has been unusual, so to speak. So Marcus, I was wondering if you could just kind of delve in a little bit into who her is. Her name is Gabby. Yes. Maybe we should refer to her as that moving forward to further elude confusion.
So Gabby Wilson is from Vallejo, California. She is Black and Filipino, and she has long been known as a music prodigy. She has been performing on TV since she was like 9 or 10 years old, kind of doing the daytime circuit. And it's funny because as she has now become a music artist as an adult, she has kind of reinvented herself as this very enigmatic artist. You hardly see her without sunglasses. She keeps a real low profile. She's a very laid back personality. But basically, how she started was she was releasing a lot of EPs, because I believe now we're kind of in a music age in the last decade where artists take a long time to release their debut album. So with her, what's interesting is, like The Weeknd, she collected a lot of EPs that were very much celebrated, and I believe at least one or two were nominated for Grammys, and then put them into two compilation albums. One of which was definitely nominated for Album of the Year. It was called I Used to Know Her. And so with her newest album, Back of My Mind, it's kind of sort of her debut album, but she's been around for like 6 years. And like we said, we mentioned it in the interview, but she has over 20 Grammy nominations. And despite this being like the first project that isn't a compilation.
Yeah, of course, the debut album, quote unquote, challenges the ever moving definition of what constitutes an album and an EP. I was watching, before we spoke, I was watching some of Gabby's awards acceptance speeches. And I believe when she accepted for Best R&B Album at the 2019 Grammys, she got up there and noted, sort of jokingly, but not really, that this is actually an EP, which is true. I think it was only a handful of songs. So she is right there. But more to your point about her background, you know, it is interesting to see these early clips of her on the Today Show, on, you know, Live at the Apollo, on Maury, of all places, you know, when she's 9, 10 years old. And she's an extremely effusive 9 and 10 year old. You know, she's very proud of her talents, which are multiple. You know, on the Today Show, I think there's a segment of her playing the drums and singing and playing the guitar. And then, you know, she pops up 6, 7 years later with these EPs. No one really knows who she is. And that's sort of, I don't want to call it a shtick, but that's sort of the process, or I guess the approach she wanted to take. Famously, when RCA, the label who signed her as a young teenager, when they came out and released her EP, they noted that there was no background information. No one knew who she was. There's no name attached to it, no age. And her early interviews, not the real early ones, but the ones following that first EP, she was hesitant to say who she was. I think someone found out that, like, this person was clearly Gabby Wilson, and she would not confirm nor deny it. So she was clearly trying to keep an aura of, you know, this air of mystery about her, which, as you said, is very similar to what The Weeknd did when he first came out. Of course, they have both taken very different trajectories when it comes to the Grammys. But yeah, it's interesting to see, you know, she popped up, and then it was, I'd say, a pretty big surprise across music that she got all of these nominations when she, her, you know, that first year that she was eligible to be nominated. What do you think it is about her music that really fit in with the Grammys voting body?
What we should say as well is that, like, the recognition is kind of deserved, because if you think of sort of making a name for yourself as an artist, she's like such a great live performer because she is a multi-instrumentalist and is adept at performing in multiple genres. She can do a rock tribute, an R&B tribute, get into gospel. I mean, she's nominated for Best Contemporary Christian Music Performance. And so she's just a really interesting artist that, of course, the Recording Academy is a jury of peers, and she is among many peers. There are a lot of people in the music industry that really respect her and what she can do. And although, like we said, she's become quiet as she's an adult, like, she's not exactly the same energy as a 9-year-old kid, which is completely fun, hard to do. But that energy really comes out in her performances. And I think what was interesting about this particular album is that it really showed what she can do in terms of modern R&B, and really pulled in a lot of rap influences. And yeah, I mean, Damage, of course, is impressive, and that's got multiple nominations. But if you look at something like Fight For You, which is around, released around the same time, that's much more 70s influence, like really getting into like funk soul, of course, written for Judas and the Black Messiah, and that's how it got the Oscar last year. And so the great thing about her is that she's a very versatile artist. She can do so much, which impresses a lot of people.
That is a really good point to make, that she is, you know, people can sneer at the Grammys all they want. I mean, Gabby is clearly a very talented artist. I went to see her perform at the Prince tribute that the Grammys did a couple of years ago, and she played Nothing Compares to You and played guitar and sang. And that is that's a hard song to cover on a big stage. And she killed it. And the music that she's been putting out and has been collaborating with over the years, Bryson Tiller and Ty Dolla $ign, she brings a really eclectic mix to the music, which is really what makes all of these nominations she gets so heartening. She is somebody who is clearly doing really interesting things in R&B. That said, it is interesting to see her against some of her contemporaries like Summer Walker or Jasmine Sullivan, and to see them not as decorated. Do you think there's like another Is there a wild card that Gabby has that they don't have? Or is it just the music itself that you think is what really pushes her past it all?
I mean, I think because she's been doing this for such a long time, she's just really been playing that circuit. And so, like, if you have any sort of event that may sort of double as a campaign event, like, she's someone you're going to want to slot in because she's very dependable. And like I said, impressive to her peers. And the instrumental aspect of it as well definitely helps because some other artists don't do that. But I do want to say that in terms of Recording Academy recognition, like you said, it is very hard for women to get recognized in general, but also in these categories. And I think despite this year being more open-minded, we still see it. And so if you look at something like normally Best Progressive R&B Album, which, I mean, it's one of those categories where you got to just use the air quotes around progressive, but it's usually a very,
yes,
it's usually a very, well, I mean, the sad part is it's usually where they like slot Black pop artists. And so that's kind of an issue. Like Rihanna has been in there, Beyonce, The Weeknd. But that's a category where you could definitely see someone like a Summer Walker. We can feel comfortable saying that she's probably the biggest new R&B artist. Like, she's shattering streaming charts with her newest album, still over it. The point I was getting at as well is that, like, her isn't taking someone's spot in any way. Like, she is very inclusive of her peers and has done songs with Jhené Aiko, who got a lot of nominations last year, with Ella Mai. So I think because she kind of adheres to certain traditional elements that go into being nominated as an artist at the Grammys, that's why she may get recognized a little bit more. And as well as, like we said, she's had years of building a reputation. But the hope is that, like, if we're talking about R&B, like, I don't know if you feel this way, but I think the most exciting things happening right now in R&B are through women like Summer Walker, Ari Lennox, Ella Mai, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And so I hope that gets to be reflected more. And I'm happy that her is leading the way because she is an artist who is both a great representative of that, but also shows a lot of shine for her peers who haven't gotten that recognition yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that gender gap is definitely something that is, of course, you know, the Grammys are no stranger to it, nor are any other awards show. There's been a little bit more of a focus in the last few years over the around the Best Alternative Album category, just because, again, we noted this in our last episode, St. Vincent won. She was the first woman in 24 years to win that category back in 2016 or 2017. She's nominated for it again this year. And then I believe last year, all women were nominated in that category, which was a huge achievement and really great that that happened and well-deserved for all of those nominees. And I'd really like to see that happen across different genres now. And R&B especially, like you said, all those artists you noted, you know, Normani to Victoria Monet, like there's so many great female R&B artists right now doing really interesting work that deserves to be recognized on a large scale like the Grammys, or as large a scale as you can get these days.
Right.
Speaking of, I would love to run down the category. There are a few female nominees this year across the R&B categories, and get your take on who's in them, who you think might pull out a win. Why don't we kick it off with Best R&B Album? For that, we have Snow Allegra with Temporary Highs in the Violet Skies. We have John Batiste with We Are. John Batiste is the biggest vote getter of the year, or sorry, nominee of the year. I believe he came in with 11 nominations, including a few across the big four categories. We have Leon Bridges with Gold Digger's Sound. Leon is also sort of in that kind of Grammy artist category, although I don't believe he has won yet. He has been sort of a mainstay on their performance stage and also across nominations.
Yeah,
we have her, of course, with Back of My Mind. And then we have Hotels, EW's number one album of the year by Jasmine Sullivan. Marcus, who are you feeling in this category? Who do you think will win? Who do you want to win?
I think this is a particularly hard one. I mean, I definitely would want Jasmine Sullivan to win. But of course, the technicality is that it's an EP. But there's definitely sure. enough songs on there to feel like a completed project. And she's been around so long and she has so many friends in the industry. Of course, starting off, Missy Elliott was a big part of her career. And so she also has that like respect from her peers. And so it would be amazing and long due to see her win. That said, this is a hard one. I might go with John Batiste because he got all those nominations. And I think if they're thinking about sort of splitting votes, like this would be a good category to highlight him in.
That is sort of where I'm going with it as well. John is an extremely talented artist. He's the band leader for Late Night Show with Stephen Colbert. It's a great record. We Are is really spectacular. It does a really good job of, you know, speaking to the moment that we're in right now and the culture that we're in. He has recognition across the board this year, but I do see him winning at more of the below the line categories than the top ones, especially with a lot of the bigger names that are involved in those top categories this year. So I do see him coming away with it. As much as I would like Jasmine to come away with the win, or even Leon, that Leon album I think is really good and shows a lot of growth in himself as an artist and a writer. Let's talk best R&B song. There's some good ones in here. We have Damage, which you mentioned earlier, by her. We have Good Days by SZA, which is just a spectacular track. We have Giveon's Heartbreak Anniversary. We have Leave the Door Open by another Grammy artist there, Silk Sonic with Bruno Mars and Anderson .Paak. And then we have Pick Up Your Feelings, also by Jasmine Sullivan. So who are you thinking here?
This is like probably one of my favorite categories this year because
stacked.
Yes, it is like the most stacked, killer, killer songs. In my heart, I want Good Days to win because I do think it hurt that we couldn't really say it was the best song of last year because technically it was released Christmas 2020. And the best music gift we could have gotten that year. And well, sneaking up in there is one of the song co-writers. We've talked about him before, Jacob Collier. Is another Grammy artist.
Another Grammy artist.
He's of that group of artists where like our friends may not know who he is as much, but like in terms of his peers at the Recording Academy, like everyone knows him. His kind of name travels far. And so like there's a fighting chance because I think SZA is another one who may be a little bit overdue. But I do think that in terms of what would win, it's probably safe to choose Leave the Door Open because Bruno Mars is an Album of the Year winner. That song was such a huge song. And it's good. I mean, I'm not going to stand here and say any of these songs are bad. They're all like so deserving. And that's what makes it interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I was leaning towards Silk Sonic for this, and I do love that record. I do wonder if that's one of the favorites in the top categories, though, and I can see it coming away with either the album itself coming away with Album of the Year or the record coming away with Record of the Year. You know, Bruno has done the rounds on the Grammys, and people just love him and really love that record. All of that said, I think SZA could, I mean, that song has long legs. It came out, as you said, at the end of December 2020. So it has even longer legs than I'm giving it credit for right now. Yeah. People are still listening to Control as well. It's still on the Billboard Top 200 after however many years it's been out. I think people really respect and love SZA's work. And I can see her coming away with a win here as well. I could also see her maybe pulling away with a win on this one too. I think it's a great record. And I think Damage, you know, more than most of the records on that album really sort of encompasses a lot of the great work that she does as a guitarist and a lyricist. So yeah, I mean, it's hard to say, but I think I'm going to go with SZA. I kind of seeing her pulling away from this.
I'm not going to complain. I'm rooting for her. Yeah.
We'll see. Okay, last one here is Best R&B Performance. We have Snow Allegra again with Lost You. We have, interestingly enough, Justin Bieber with Peaches. And I say interestingly enough, Justin made a big deal over the fact that his previous album, Before Justice, which is nominated this year for Best Album, Changes, did not get nominated for R&B Album. It got nominated for Pop Album, even though he made what was quote-unquote an R&B album. So now the song that was not supposedly an R&B song, or at least in his eyes, is now you know, nominated for Best R&B Performance. So some fun, like, kind of back and forth there going on between Bieber and the Grammys.
Yeah.
We have Damage again from her. We have Leave the Door Open, Silk Sonic, and we have Jasmine's Pick Up Your Feelings. So we have a few repeat performers here. Who are you thinking?
So I will say, in terms of this being a performance category, I could see this being where Jasmine is recognized because she has a once-in-a-lifetime voice. I will say, you know what? Shout out to Bieber, though, because I do appreciate that the intention, pun intended, I guess, of Changes was to be an R&B album, and it didn't get the recognition that he necessarily wanted. And that was a big collaboration with Pooh Bear. And I was listening to an interview on another podcast, And the Writer Is, and he was saying that, like, Justin's people kind of purposefully pulled him back from working with Justin on Justice. And yet, the biggest song was the one song he was involved with because he has a publishing company. And so some of his artists helped write Peaches. And so it is kind of like a great arc to see if that win ever happens. And I mean, it's Justin Bieber with Daniel Caesar and Giveon, which are certainly, like, I think Daniel Caesar got recognized because one of her's biggest songs is The Best Part with Daniel Caesar. And that was,
yeah,
a deserving song. And then Giveon, of course, is nominated more this year. But as far as, like, what I think would win, I already mentioned Jasmine, but I think the other big one would be her Damage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jasmine's vocal work on that song is spectacular. There's no other real way to put it. I do love Peaches, though. I think that song's great. I'm still playing it. It's definitely one of my favorites off that record. And like you said, Justin was very purposeful about Changes being an R&B record. That's why they brought Pooh Bear in, and Pooh Bear has worked with Justin for many years now. I am glad to see that that song get the recognition either way, just because I love the track. And Justin, to his credit, also hand-selected Daniel and Giveon to feature on that record. He sort of, allegedly anyway, A&R'd it himself. So, you know, it's a good song, but vocal work aside, I do think this is Jasmine's category to lose. So we will have to see when the Grammys happen.
I will say it tracks if he A&R'd it himself, because a song with Justin Bieber, Daniel Caesar, and Giveon, the concept of that is very chaotic. Like,
it is completely chaotic.
I would never.
No record label, no actual record label A&R is going to be like, yeah, we need to put these three together in a room to make a single.
And when you listen to it, it is like, how did this happen?
But, yes, correct.
But yes, no, it is like, shout out to him, because only Bieber could have thought of that.
Only Bieber could have thought of it. Well, we will have to see how it all unfolds when the Grammys happen later this year. For now, we will listen to Marcus and his chat with Gabby Wilson, aka her. Anything we should know going into this interview you had with her?
I mean, I think the only other thing I didn't mention so far is that it is an acronym. We're not saying H.E.R. randomly. It stands for Having Everything Revealed. And so I will leave you with that, revealing more with Gabby.
Very important clarification. Marcus Jones, thank you as always for joining. And we'll hear Marcus's chat with her after the break.
So,
no one. The
more about gel coat.
When the fourth round.
Don't you call in the.
Don't touch that dial. That's right, we're still calling it a dial here because it's Emmy season on the Awardist. With the dazzling Oscar season behind us, we are now turning our attention to smaller screens to track which shows are headed to the podium and which shows stopped us in our tracks. Join me, Jared Hall, Entertainment Weekly's executive editor, as well as EW's TV-obsessed staffers, every Thursday starting April 4th, as we share our opinionated hot takes and insight into the Emmys race. The Awardist will get behind the scenes with the creators and stars themselves during in-depth can't miss interviews. Follow The Long Road to the Emmys with the Awardist podcast Thursday starting April 4th on your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to check out more Emmys coverage at ew.com/awardist.
Welcome to the Awardist. I am so glad to be joined by, ladies and gentlemen, her. This has been such a huge year for you. I mean, you got Song of the Year at the Grammys last year. You won an Oscar. This album has also had your biggest hit yet, Slide. And so what has that all been like?
I mean, I don't even know how to really put it into words. I'm more grateful than anything because, you know, everything we've gone through with the pandemic, you know, the fact that I've been able to keep it going and have a good time and really just make music and then to be recognized for it. Like, it's all really amazing. And I still can't believe it's happening, but I'm super grateful.
That's awesome. One thing, too, that I was so interested in is often we talk about you being a musical prodigy, and that's obviously true, definitely in my opinion. It might be weird for you to say. unless you want to own it, you can go for it. But I feel like often people don't recognize the long road that artists take before they get the recognition. Do you feel that's true in your case? Like, what is it like to have all this time that you've been working towards your career and then now for all these achievements to come so quickly together?
I mean, it's amazing. Like I said, I didn't expect this, but I definitely put in a lot of work and, you know, nobody would see that part. You know, I was very like low key and just working on my craft and going to the studio and doing my thing. And people don't see that part, you know, that with anybody's success, they don't know what it takes to get there, especially with how surprising it is for me even to have won a Grammy and then an Oscar, you know, right after, you know, major categories. It's like, it's insane. And I'm sure people are like, how, you know, but they don't realize, you know, it was 10 plus years. You know, I've been signed to RCA MBK since I was 14 years old and I'm 24 now. So, yeah, they don't see the work that's been put in. And I think that I have to look back and just be so grateful for the journey and know and be proud of myself and know that it was all worth it. You know, all the sacrifices, all the struggles, and to keep staying motivated and believe in myself and know that this was always going to be meant for me. I didn't expect it to be in this way, but, you know, it's like, it's crazy. So, yeah, I think I look back on my journey and I'm like, wow, yeah, I've done a lot of things.
Yeah. And so part of your journey has been releasing all these different projects and then compiling them together. And of course, we had the album Her and I Used to Know Her. With this album, Back of My Mind, nominated for Album of the Year, by the way, do you consider it kind of like your debut or reintroduction album? Like, what do you think of this one?
I can't really say it's a debut at all, really, because I mean, with the other Grammys for my first project, you know, it's like, I can't say that. But I think this album was kind of like, I think it is sealing an era, if anything. I think it's more so like, hey, this is the beginning, but it's also the end, you know, of a chapter. And I don't even know what that means yet. You know, I'm even still trying to figure out what that even means. Creatively, I think I'm in a different place, but that album, I think, was like a combination of so many of the things that I love within R&B. You know, it was vibey R&B, like my first project, but then you had ballads on there and it was a lot more musical. And I had a lot of really dope collaborators on there. So it was kind of like a big vibe of so many different emotions of R&B. But it'll be interesting to see working on my next project. You know, it'll be very telling on what Back of My Mind really meant to me. But yeah, this album I'm so proud of. Like, I had been working on it for so many years, in between touring and award shows and all that good stuff. But I feel a lot of change happening this year, even just in the culture and in the world. You know, with the pandemic, it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah. And I mean, digging deeper into this project a little bit, what were you sort of thinking was the vibe for Back of My Mind, or what did you want to achieve with this specific project? Because you're such a prolific artist who has tried so many styles of music. I mean, just this year, you're nominated for Best R&B Performance and Best Traditional R&B Performance. And then also Best Contemporary Christian Music for your song, Hold Us Together.
Which is crazy.
What were you trying to achieve with Back of My Mind specifically, this project?
I think the idea was, even in the creative process, that I wasn't trying to achieve anything. I just wanted to make good music, and songs like We Made It happened, and it was like this big kind of alternative R&B sound with these big drums and then hip hop drums on the verse. Like, I really wasn't even going for anything, just like experimenting in, you know, within R&B. And then there's songs like Lucky that I really, it wasn't intentional, but I found myself going back to the vibe of my first project and how much I love that sound. And songs like My Own, like those very intimate, vulnerable songs that have that like trap R&B sound. I wanted there to be something for everybody. And I think in that album, there's something for everybody, you know, within the world of R&B. Like, there's a ballad, there's, you know, a bigger kind of more alternative sound, but then there's the vibiness, and then there's the more traditional kind of 90s R&B kind of sound, and then there's, you know, like Volume One sound. So I think it's so many different moods, and that's kind of what I was trying to achieve in the sequencing. But yeah, I think there's something for everybody.
Yeah. And I think one interesting thing that's happening in R&B right now is that we're in such a great era of female artists, but it's hard to see like the Hot 100 chart reflect that. But how has it been sort of seeing songs like Slide get that recognition and sort of be like a mainstay on the radio and sort of break through that challenge that a lot of artists are facing?
It's really dope. It's pretty crazy. And, you know, I didn't expect a lot of the love and the growth that is happening now with a lot of these records, especially with radio. It's dope to see. And I really think women are driving the industry right now. Like, regardless of the charts, like, women are really leading the culture, the vibe. Like, the songs that you see on the playlist are women, you know, in hip hop, in R&B, pop, like, all across the board. So I'm proud of that.
Yeah. I believe you're now at having over 20 Grammy nominations. And I think are you still under 25?
I am under 25. So it's insane. 20, I think it's 23 nominations or something crazy like that. Like, under 25 for sure. It's insane.
Your nominations are catching up to your age.
Man, right? It's crazy.
Oh my gosh. And you've been involved with sort of Recording Academy initiatives as well, but like, the first thing I want to ask is, what is your thought on sort of the label of like a Grammy artist?
I don't even know what that means, honestly. I don't understand what that means, because it means something different to everybody. I mean, you know, I feel like there are artists that have a impact. And, you know, I only pray and hope that we're recognizing those artists, you know, that have something to say, that are impacting the culture. And to me, you know, I would say that's what like a Grammy artist is. But I don't know. That's just how I would recognize an artist, because there's a lot of dope artists that are really, I don't know, just influencing the world, you know, and the things that we love. They're shifting the culture. And I think that's more important to me than anything when it comes to labels, is impact.
Yeah, because I think I agree. It's like sort of a formless label. I guess it would be like a artist that the Grammys are really paying attention to. But like, the reason why I asked is, do you feel like you're a part of a generation really changing that label? Because we've seen you get multiple recognition from the Recording Academy, also Billie Eilish, these young artists where you guys certainly aren't making the music that I would have said 5 years ago was like the perception of what music that Grammys pays attention to is, in a good way.
Absolutely. a lot of people have a lot of misconceptions on the process of the Grammys, and they're a lot more transparent now. And it's kind of like you have to mix the people. So peers vote. So it's peers that are voting. And then you have like the chairs and all that. But I think that right now we're in a really good space. And I think there's a lot more transparency and there's a lot more recognition of what is. And there's not like some stuffy person, you know, that's not even in the culture that's voting anymore. I think they're out with like, we're done with that. Like we can't do that anymore. Like it can't be people who are not part of the culture, who don't know the culture of music, and aren't even lovers of music voting on music. You know what I mean? And I think, we're past that. We're past that stage. I think changes are happening. And, like I said, they're being a lot more transparent now. I see a lot of younger, you know, people being involved in the Grammys, and younger Black people at that, you know, people that are really in music, really in the culture, who are recognizing, you know, these artists. And I think that's the main part, is the people that are in it, you know, is having the people that are in it.
Yeah. And I was going to ask you a little more about that. I had mentioned that you're a part of the Black Music Collective. I believe artists like Taylor Parks and Yolanda Adams are on that as well. I think it's an initiative within the Recording Academy. What has that experience been like? And as a group, had any achievements that you all are very proud of?
Oh, man, honestly, it's been amazing. And yeah, I mean, just the voters alone, like the percentage of women has gone up. The percentage of Black artists and creatives have gone up within the Grammys, and you know how the Grammys operate. So that is something to be proud of alone. And we've still got a lot of work to do, but it's the beginning of change. And yeah, man, the Black Music Collective is dope because these people really care, and we're leading this generation, this next generation, and generations to come.
Yeah, and I think it's a part of a sort of industry-wide trend of artists really looking for ways to become more empowered, which I'm sure many fans support. But some artists are sort of doing that outside of the Grammys. I wanted to know, like, what are your thoughts on some of the artists like The Weeknd or Drake who are like backing away and sort of maybe reforming an idea? Because I know you're working within the Recording Academy, and then there are artists like that who maybe are stepping out or finding an alternative.
You know, to each its own. I think it's what you feel comfortable with and where you feel like you can create change. Like my experience is not their experience, you know? So I don't understand what that's like. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what it's like to be in their shoes. So the way that they lead, the way that they choose to go about their change or to go about their career, you know, is really up to them. And I hope that what I'm doing and the choices that I make are pushing us forward. But, you know, it comes down to the creativity for me and really using my lyrics, my pen and my words to create change. And that's kind of, to me, my biggest responsibility is the things that I talk about and reaching the minds of the people personally. You know what I mean? Not necessarily through an organization. Like I have that independent responsibility that everybody doesn't take on, and that's cool, you know, but that's just me personally.
Yeah. And one other thing I wanted to talk to you about is we've mentioned you're a part of the Black Music Collective. You are also Asian American as well.
Yes.
And I think this year has been such a banner year for Asian American artists. I mean, if you look at Album of the Year, it's you. I believe Bruno Mars is on there. Olivia Rodrigo.
Yeah.
Getting recognition. Sweetie. So what has it been like in that aspect of this year in music, sort of seeing, because I don't think people were necessarily talking about it, but the radio was kind of missing Asian American artists for like a really long time. And so now, like, we have so many choices and so many different styles. And what has
that
been
like? Mainstream media and pop culture, like you would never see a Filipino and Black person, or you know, Filipino and white, like you wouldn't see mixed race people as much, and it's so dope to see, especially the fact that there's so many Filipinos, because for a while it was just like felt like the only Filipino, you know, or Bruno Mars would be the only Filipino, you know. And it's like it's pretty cool to see, because there's so many young girls out there who now know, like, oh, I can do that, you know, because we're breaking those barriers. And that's really the goal. Like, people can see themselves in us, and we're setting an example, you know, what you could be and not being afraid. Like, it's really dope. I mean, to be recognized as a Filipino and Black woman is, you know, phenomenal, especially with Sweetie. Like, it's really dope. We're two Black and Filipino artists from the Bay, and we do two different things, you know? So it's like, that representation is so important. It's not one way, it's not one thing, you know, we all do something different, but we represent a people.
Yes. As we're sort of coming to a close, one thing I want to mention as well is that a new part of your career has been making songs for film and sort of marrying music and film. With Grammys, of course, Fight For You is nominated for Song of the Year, Best Traditional R&B Performance. And then also going into this Oscar season, you have the song Automatic Woman from Bruised as well. So what is that experience been like, sort of working with filmmakers to find the right song for their project?
Man, it's been dope. Like, you know, on my first project, Her, all the songs, you know, almost all the songs, or if not every single song, was in a movie or a TV or show or a commercial. And so it was like, oh, okay, well, I have this thing, you know, that I can do. And I love filmmakers. I love storytelling. So I think the two go hand in hand. You know, music is such a big part of film and TV. So it was only right. And you know, the fact that I even got that call to be a part of something so major like Judas and the Black Messiah was amazing, you know, to begin with. And I was nervous about it, honestly, because I wanted it to be perfect. And I just really dove into my roots and the music that I listened to. So it's like, I've had to kind of dig deep into the places that I wouldn't normally go for my own music. You know, I love music of the 60s and 70s. I haven't made the 60s and 70s project, you know, because that's just not what I'm doing right now. But I was able to dig into that place and find that kind of soul and create it and make it my own. And that was so fun. So to me, the process is just fun. And then the Oscars are like, you know, the cherry on top. Like, it's like, what? Like, I did not expect that at all. I thought it was dope, even to just be shortlisted. And then to be on the shortlist again this year with Halle Berry, who is such a advocate for women. Like, she's just, you know, she's an icon. But like, the fact that she wanted this to be about telling a story about a woman, about many women, and then having the soundtrack be all women. Like I said, I've been so grateful to just be a part of projects that mean something, part of projects where people are just so passionate about the stories that they're telling. So the fact that I just get to do that, you know, is phenomenal. And so now to be recognized for it is just like, you know, it's just the icing on the cake. And I feel so, so grateful and surprised at the same time. But it's like, you know, hopefully, you know, with more Filipinos and Black women being recognized, it won't be a surprise anymore, you know, but I'm grateful.
Exactly. Well, as we come to a close, we've established that you have a very busy award season ahead of you, but we're also in a new year. So I want to ask, what's up next for Her in 2022?
I'm going to be working on new music with a lot of dope artists as well. And then I'm getting ready to go on tour with Coldplay, and we're going to be in stadiums. So that's going to be a whole new experience. And I freaking love Coldplay. So I'm excited to even just be able to watch the show as an opener. And then, you know, I'm really big on film and TV and storytelling, like I said. So now I'm kind of taking a different approach, and I'll be acting this year. I shoot The Color Purple this year. It's like a remix of The Color Purple, and I'm excited about that. So you'll see me on the big screen, and you'll see me in stadiums, and you'll be hearing new music from me in 2022.
Oh, wow. I truly cannot wait for that.
Yeah, me too.
Thank you so much for talking to me.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
This has been the Awardist interview with Her. Thanks again.
And that's it for this Grammys episode of The Awardist. If you liked what you heard, subscribe, rate the podcast, and leave us an award-winning review on Apple Podcasts. To keep the conversation with us going, follow Entertainment Weekly on all socials, at EW on Twitter, and at Entertainment Weekly everywhere else.
You can also tag us at @AlexJSuskin, and at Marcus Jones. We'll see you next time. This episode of the Awardist podcast is hosted by Alex Suskin and Marcus Jones, produced by Chanel Johnson and Sammy Junio, executive produced by Shayna Krockmal and Ava Wong, edited by Sammy Junio. Full episode transcripts are available at EW.com. Thanks for listening.